This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
I'm Scott David, the ILTA Program Planning Council member from Voorhees Stater, Seymour and Peace. I'll be interviewing Ginevra Saylor, National Director of Innovation Programs at Gowling WLG in Toronto, Canada, and ILTA board member, on the topic of getting started in a new director or senior leadership role, either from promotion, either promotion from within or transition to the role in a new firm. So thank you, Ginevra. Could you give me a little background about how you came into the national director role at Gowling?
Sure. I had been at another global firm for about 12 years, and I was doing knowledge and innovation. And increasingly, the innovation part of the job was what was really intriguing and exciting and challenging to me. And so when an opportunity arose with Gowling to focus on innovation, I decided to go for it.
Thanks, Deborah. I often hear about CIOs or other people in leadership positions like yours crafting a 90 or 100-day plan. Did you do something like this? And if so, how did you go about doing it? Or if not, why did you choose not to?
Yeah, actually, I am probably a poster child for creating that kind of plan. So throughout my career, when I have thought about changing roles or even doing the same type of role, but with a different firm, as a preparation for interviews, believe it or not, I always think about what my, I call it a 90-day plan, not a 100-day, and what I would do in my first 30, 60, and 90 days. And I plan that out based on the kind of role I'm interviewing for. And I did that in this case as well. I have to say, in that time, in my whole career, no one's ever asked me that during an interview. But I still think it's valuable because it helps me to collect my thoughts and focus on what it is I do, how I think I add value to an organization, and the contributions that I think I typically make to organizations. So it also helps me determine when I have more than one option, which of those options is going to really intrigue me and excite me at that point in my life. Because during the interview preparation process, as I compare the different 90-day plans to suit the different roles, typically one will be more interesting to me. And that really helps me decide where I want to be at that point in my life. The other thing I like about it is I think if you can envision yourself engaged and excited someplace for the first 90 days, that's a pretty good start. So you can be pretty sure you're going to be happy there. When I did settle on this job, I felt like I was ahead of the game because I had a plan. But I think it's really important to note that you can't be wedded to that plan. That's critical. You have to be ready to abandon parts of it or the whole thing entirely. You got to be totally flexible because when you come into a new place, it's very important to get the lay of the land and make sure that what you're going to do matches that firm's priorities, culture, and what's really important to it. So I hope that answered your question.
It does. I have two follow-ups.
Okay, great.
One is how different, you talked about making two different, like different plans for different opportunities. How different were the plans that you were crafting? And I think what lots of people want to know is what are some of the highlights of the plan that you've implemented?
Yeah, so the reason I say the plans are different depending on the role I'm going for, if I were looking to go into a knowledge management role, I would have to look at how broad the mandate is at that particular firm. I think you know that every firm kind of slices and dices what goes into knowledge management a little differently. And so plan would be focused around what it means for that firm. Likewise, going into an innovation role is different than going into a knowledge management role. And then the third thing is whether you're walking into an established department or, as in my current role, you're really being hired to create something new. So that's why, I mean, the 30, 60, 90 day plan would be different depending on the circumstances. There are some components of it that are always the same for me because I'm always coming in as head of a unit. And so in the first 30 days, I really focus on interviewing people, observing as much as I can, auditing what's there, what isn't there, and doing a full assessment of the current state. And then in the first 60 days, so it would be day 30 to 60, I would be reviewing, analyzing, starting to create a plan. And I like the plan to have a mix of short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals. So things that I think could be accomplished within the first 3 months, things that would take up to 6 months, and then things that would take a year or longer. And I like to come up with what I think would be good metrics. And then in the first 90 days, I would like to, based on those metrics, be able to sit back and assess how much I was able to deliver, particularly on the short-term projects, creating a strong plan and strategy, and just the overall progress I've made.
That's awesome. That makes a lot of sense. And it kind of leads into my next question, which is to talk a little bit about the people side of this. Sounds mm-hmm. like you came into a role that's brand new, and I'm guessing you didn't have a staff, so you had the opportunity to kind of create the team that you wanted and find the team that you wanted. How did you go about doing that, and what was your message to them?
Yeah, so here at Gowling, it is a new role. There fortunately was a steering committee for innovation that I immediately became part of, so I wasn't alone. I was also fortunate to know three of the five people on that steering committee really well. Two of them I had known and socialized with, you know, in a professional way for 20 years. One of them for 10 years, and then another one I knew for about 5 years. So these were people I knew on a professional level just as part of the Toronto community. But even though I was really hired to come in and build up department structure, whatever it ends up being, there are always people who are already involved who you need to get to know. And so it was very important to me to get to know who the people were who are already doing a lot in the area of innovation. I wanted to reach out to them, understand how they want to remain involved, what they currently do, what their skills are. And it was important to me, I say was, but I'm still in that phase right now. I consider these first 3 months a critical time for me to build trust and credibility and develop some really good relationships with people, you know, who are going to either be part of the team or work a lot on projects with us. So, you know, this is a really important time for building those relationships. I'm a fairly transparent person. I don't walk around with a hidden agenda. I'm very straight with people. And I like to establish that as soon as possible. I want people to know that I'm open and communicative. But the main thing I want them to know is that I really thrive in a creative environment and build off other people's ideas. So I'm not the kind of person who thinks my ideas are the best. I really love to engage and learn and build out good ideas with other people. And so that's what I'm trying to communicate to the people that I'm meeting here, who I think will be either a part of the team full time or will play a big role going forward.
I love your point about working to establish trust. And I think it's great that when you came on board, you had friends there at your new firm already. I don't know that you mentioned this, but how long have you been in your new role?
I am coming up on 3 months.
Gotcha.
Not quite there yet.
So, kind of related to the people side as well, but I wanted to talk more about the attorneys and the partners who are not necessarily the core part of your innovation team, but where you're trying to make an impact on. Mm-hmm. How did you start in establishing those relationships?
So if you go back to the first question, I talked about interviews, and I am a big fan of, and I talked to the COO about this before I started, that it's very important to me to have time to sit down and talk to as many people as I can in that first month, first 2 months, however long it takes. And so what I did when I came in was made a list of all of the lawyers in leadership roles. And by that, I mean all of the practice group heads, but also the leads of the sub-practices, specialty niche practices. And I did that on a global, national, and local office level. So that's a pretty long list. Also, the office managing partners. And then from the steering committee, I was also able to add to my list associates, junior partners, law clerks, assistants who had interest in innovation and technology by reputation. So had already been involved in projects, had been part of focus groups, you know, however they got that reputation for being keen on these things, those people were added to my list. And then I started doing interviews, and the interviews last anywhere from like an hour to an hour and a half, depending on the person and how much time they have. And during the course of the interviews, I was able to add new people to the list, because anytime someone during an interview said, oh, you know what? You know who you should talk to? That person went on my list.
I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had this very comprehensive list of people, and so I worked in several interviews a day, mixed that in with the other work I was doing. And basically, I tried to keep it open-ended, but I asked a few leading questions to get people started. How do you work? And by that, I meant, what's the nature of your work? What's your client base, your processes? And then I asked them what seems to be working well, what's not working so well for you. And then I tried to get them to think big. And so I would ask a question like, what do you think would help you to absolutely delight your clients? And it was really interesting, the things that people came up with. Nobody, you know, sat there unable to answer the question. This is something that I think a lot of lawyers are thinking about more and more. At least my experience is people had lots of ideas when I asked them that question. We also looked at what their clients' issues or problems are and what their clients' opportunities are and how we in innovation could help them solve those problems or help them seize new opportunities. And then from there, the interviews were pretty much went wherever the person took them.
That sounds like a very busy time for you. And I love that you set up the expectations with the COO in your own interview process about the interviews that you plan to do. I think that's awesome. One of the things that you mentioned earlier was about firm culture. And you hear a lot about that. Every firm has one, and you hear that every firm is a little bit different. And I know you've been at multiple firms. So how did you approach that? How is this firm different than others?
Yeah, that's an interesting, that has been a real journey for me, because I remember way back when I came out of law school, and, you know, I heard about culture and I thought, a law firm's a law firm is a law firm. They're all alike. And this has been the biggest surprise in my career, and I've never gotten used to it. I did not expect such a range and such big differences in culture. I knew that they were going to be somewhat different, but, you know, the range has been really phenomenal to me. I started out in the U.S., and I started out in the public sector, and I worked in four different not-for-profit legal services organizations. And there, you know, I thought they're all going to be the same kind of people, same motivation. all four of them were totally different. Everything from, you know, how people interacted, to how you were expected to dress, to how they dealt with their clients, they could not have been more different. And then I moved to Canada and worked in three different business law firms. And again, I thought, yeah, they're going to be slightly different, but they're all, you know, big national, or in the case of the last two, were both global, you know, corporate law firms, totally different culture. So I've come to recognize that getting a handle on the culture is really important as quickly as you can, especially with the kind of work I do, which involves change management in every single project. That is one of the biggest components. How are you going to manage the change? You really have to understand the culture in terms of incentives, what motivates people, because it can be vastly different. Fortunately, I'm really adaptable, and I like to learn what makes, right? Yeah. So I like to learn what makes different groups tick and what's going to work in one place. And that is one of the things I love most about the work that I do. So I'm very eager to develop a strategy for change management that works in the organization I'm in. Some of the changes I noticed here are this culture really did have a long-standing tradition of innovation that went back to the early 90s, or mid to late 90s, let's say, where people, the lawyers themselves, were doing some pretty impressive stuff that some firms aren't even doing now. And that was really interesting to me, to see that those pockets of innovation were really baked into the culture of this firm. The other big difference I notice in culture from firm to firm is their appetite for mandating things. And I won't say which one I'm in now, but I've been in firms that are very, very rule oriented and feel very comfortable saying to the lawyers, you will do this. And then I've been in firms where all you can really hope for is suggesting to lawyers that they do something. And so, you know, that makes a big difference in the kind of work that I do.
Absolutely. And I agree. I feel like a part of a piece of the culture thing is to pick up on all these little cues that you see, and yeah, that helps you build up to some of those bigger things. So I know you've only been in the position, you know, about 90 days, but looking back on your approach, what have you learned, and what might you change next time?
Yeah, so I think it's maybe a little too soon to make that call, because I really am coming up on 3 months. But what I can say is I'm nearly at the end of the 90 days. I remain extremely happy to be here. And what's really encouraging is I'm even more excited than I was when I came in. So to be at the end of the 90 days and to have the structure of a plan and to see some real opportunities is really exciting. So from my perspective, what I've learned is I'm in the right place at just the right time, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, that's great. I want to just thank you for your time, Ginevra. And my final question is there any last piece of advice that you'd like to add, or is there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have?
Just kind of to wrap things up, I'd like to just say something about what I think is good leadership. And to people who are going into a leadership role, particularly if you're going into your first role as a leader, I think it's important from the first day and then every day after that to be real. Have no hidden agendas. Second, it's very important to be flexible. I think you should always assume the best in people until you have hard facts to the contrary. Take full responsibility, 100% accountability whenever things go wrong, and do the exact opposite when things go well. When you have successes, make sure you share it with everyone who was involved and do it by name. I have always made a point of naming every name when we have a success, and I would say that's a really important thing for leaders to keep in mind.
Well, thank you. That's a great piece of advice. And this was Ginevra Saylor.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio.
Programs.
Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.